And I'll give you a warning, we're not going to get there for about 10 minutes or so, but I want you to look there now, and I'm giving Christina a warning too. I'm going to have her come up and read the text, but not quite yet, but get ready. Luke chapter 4, and also in your bulletin there's a yellow insert. I want to grab that and take that out and follow along and take some notes. I would appreciate that. I think it would be helpful to you. And if you want to donate after church, you have to show them the notes already filled out, okay? I'm just joking. Donuts are free. But I do think this might be helpful to you, some additional scriptures and things on there. And so take a moment and look at that. Well, this morning, again, you look at the screen, you know that we're in the series called what? Ready for More. Ready for More. Thinking about the Holy Spirit. And this morning, as we just prepare our hearts for the Word today, I want us to pray a prayer. And I'll tell you right now, it's a 7-word prayer. Okay, I guarantee it will be no longer than 7 words, unless you count amen, which will probably be the 8th word. 7-word prayer. If you want to pray it with me, I'll tell you what it is right now. It's this: Holy Spirit, I am ready for more. 7 words, amen is 8, all right? If you're with me on that, if that's your heart's desire, let's pray it together out loud. Holy Spirit, I am ready for more. Amen. That ought to be our thought. Today, as we come into the presence of the Lord, we come together. That's been our series idea for the last several weeks, to say, Lord, I'm ready for more. Holy Spirit, I am ready for more. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us more of His presence, more of His touch, more of His strength, more of His anointing. And we're the ones that have to invite Him. We're the ones that have to open up our hearts to Him and say, Lord, I am ready for more of You. I want to tell you today, it's going to be a very simple sermon. And at the end of the sermon, I'm going to invite you to come to the front. And we're going to pray for those that just, again, would say, Lord, I want more of You. I'm ready for more. And so I want you to be thinking about that and just be ready and open to that. But this series, we've kind of taken if you think about the Bible, the Holy Spirit is kind of summarized, or His work is summarized by different word pictures or different symbols. So we talked about the Holy Spirit as a dove a couple weeks ago. We talked about the Holy Spirit as wind in John chapter 3 when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit as fire. Remember that? Acts chapter 2. Yeah, last Sunday was the birthday of the church when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. He came in tongues of fire. And this morning we're going to talk about another word picture as the Holy Spirit as oil. Holy Spirit as oil. And if you think about, again, all throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit, one of the word pictures that's used to describe the Holy Spirit is this oil. You think, all throughout the Scripture, I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. Back in the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle, and they would have the lamp lit at all times, and the light would always be shining, and that oil that would power that lamp was a picture of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit illuminates. We've talked about that. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a spotlight that points out Jesus in our lives. A second use of oil is the idea of cleansing or medicine. In their day, they didn't have pharmacies, they didn't have doctor's offices, they didn't have, you know, all the modern medicines. They would use olive oil or different oils to use for cleansing wounds or for medicinal purposes. Think about when Jesus was buried, they wrapped His body in the spices and the oils, and it was medicinal. And, today we have essential oils and those kinds of things, but there was the idea of these oils would be healing, and of course the Holy Spirit brings healing to our lives. In Psalm 45 and in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the oil of joy, and the Holy Spirit brings joy into our lives. Amen? Blessing. Psalm 23 says, You anoint my head with oil. And it's a picture of the blessing of God. And so again, this idea of oil is all throughout Scripture, symbolizing the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take a quick overview of that, and then we're going to really focus our text. We'll read in a little bit, but our text will be in Luke chapter 4, looking at what Jesus said. But before we get there, let's look at the Old Testament quickly, and look at your notes there. Number one, the oil of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And again, the idea of oil was the oil would be rubbed or smeared or anointed. We've heard that word anointed, and they would take the oil and they would rub it, or they would smear it, or they'd pour it over someone's head. It's a picture of being touched by the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, this was only given to 3 different groups of people. So write this down. It was the prophets and the priests and the kings. They were the only ones that were anointed for service. So if you were a prophet, you'd be anointed. They would take a jug of oil and pour it over your head. If you were a king, they would do the same thing. If you were a priest, they would do the same thing. And it was just a picture of the Holy Spirit coming down upon this person, this man, for a special anointing for ministry. Now look at the screen. Look at your notes. No, this is on the screen. Look at the screen with me. Let's use the anointing of King Saul as an example, and we'll see some scriptures here from 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, 'Has not the Lord, what, anointed you leader over his inheritance?'" So Saul was the first king, and so Samuel brought the oil and poured over his head and kissed him and said, "You are now anointed." Verse 6, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." Verse 10, "When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of the prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying." So again, a couple of key ideas here that we've been talking about in this series. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon men and anoint them for a special act of service. And we are blessed today because we have the indwelling or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful today the Holy Spirit is with me and with you all the time. Aren't you thankful for that? That's something we'll talk about more in just a bit. But here we see the Holy Spirit coming upon Saul. The oil was poured upon him. He was anointed to be the king. Now, in our church, and we'll do this at the close of the service, by the way, our prayer team will be here at the front, and we have these little vials of oil, and if you've come up for prayer, you know that we simply take a dab of oil and put it on your head, usually in the form of a cross. There's nothing magical about this oil. It's not necessarily from the Holy Land or from a special tree or a special olive grove. It's just oil. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But in the Bible days, what they would do is they would take a whole jug of oil. And it was Wesson oil, by the way. I found this in the church kitchen, so there's nothing significant about that, okay? And they would take the oil and they would pour it on someone's head. In fact, the psalmist said that how blessed it is when oil runs down your beard and all the way down the collar of your, you know, of your robe. And so, do I have any volunteers to come up here and let me show you what they would do in the Old Testament? Okay? Pastor Michael, come on up. No, just joking. And they would take the oil and they would pour it over his head. And it would not just be a small dab, like again that we do here, but it would be just a drenching of that oil. Now some of you say, "Pastor, that'd be good for my hair. I want a hair treatment," okay? That's not what it's about, okay? It's about a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And they would do that, and it would symbolize the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. But again, it only came upon these men that were prophets and priests and kings. And write this down, the anointing was not a guarantee of success. If you know Saul's story, he was anointed here, but very quickly after that, the wheels came off of his kingship. He was a terrible guy. He just kind of lost out with God. And so the anointing is not a silver bullet that'll cure everything. You know, Saul messed up. The person that was anointed still had to avoid sin, still had to worship God, still had to keep the law. He had to obey and follow God. And so being anointed with oil wasn't like a get-out-of-jail-free card that would allow him to do anything he wanted to do. But it was a symbol, again, of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I think is important. Again, if you weren't a prophet or a priest or a king, too bad. You just didn't have the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. And again, that tells us that we are living in a blessed age, that we are living in the last days when the Holy Spirit, we saw last Sunday, is poured out upon what? All flesh. And if nothing else today, we ought to have a great appreciation for that and to say, "Thank you, Lord, that even though I may not have a position of being a prophet or a priest or a king, that your Holy Spirit is available to me in my life today." Aren't you thankful for that? One more illustration of the Old Testament before we read our text. If you go back a little bit further in the Old Testament history, Moses, go all the way back to Moses, and Moses and Joshua were there and in the book of Numbers, and Joshua, the son of Nun, who is Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." What is he talking about? Well, all of a sudden, there were different men, elders in the camp that began to prophesy. Different men that began to lift up their voices and prophesy and speak out the truth of God. And Joshua was jealous for Moses' sake because Moses was the guy. And Moses was the one that God was supposed to speak to. And now these 70 other men were standing up and they were prophesying and they were sharing the good news about God. And Joshua said, "Hey, you guys need to sit down and be quiet because Moses is the man that's anointed." Look at your notes here, because Numbers chapter 11, Moses said this. Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake?" And here's the line I want you to see. "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. In other words, Moses says something really powerful here. He says, "Joshua, you're a good guy and I appreciate your help, but you're wrong here." because I'm looking forward to the day, Moses said, I'm looking forward to the day when all of God's people have his spirit, when all of God's people can prophesy, when it's not just one guy, when it's not just the prophet or the priest or the king, but I'm looking forward to the day when all God's people will prophesy, all God's people will have the spirit. He kind of rebuked Joshua at that point. And so even here in the Old Testament, 3,500 years ago, Moses said that. He's looking forward to this day. And you know what? If Moses were here today, he would be happy. He would smile. He would say, the Word of God is true. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon people in Sacramento, California. All of God's people have God's Spirit. Amen. You know, this summer we're going to do a series. After we wrap up the Holy Spirit series, we're going to do a summer. We're going to do a series on the book of Judges. So I've been studying and reading the book of Judges in advance to get ready for the next series. And we see here in this series, by the way, Judges is a terrible book. I mean, there are some terrible things that happen in that book. I mean, it's just all sorts of weird stuff, and it's interesting. And the title of the series is Fallen People, Faithful God. Because how many know we are fallen people, but God is still faithful? And so we're going to go through some of these great stories in the book of Judges. But Samson's a good example. Samson's in the book of Judges. And if you read the book of Judges, you'll see the Holy Spirit came upon Samson and then left him. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and then he left him. But again, we are living in the days. And like we saw last Sunday, we are living in the last days when the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon all believers. Christina, would you come up and read our text this morning? Let's all stand together. Out of respect for God's word, we want to stand as we read our text, as we just kind of set the background. So we see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We're going to look at the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the life and ministry of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. And so Christina's coming to read the text this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and as he was custom, he stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christina. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. If your Bible's open, you might want to keep it open, because I want to point out a few things in our text that Christina read for us. But let's take a look at point number two. Let's look at the oil of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. And so we think about Jesus, and of course we know him as Jesus Christ. You may wonder, well, Jesus Christ, Is Christ his last name, like, you know, Joseph Christ and Mary Christ and other son, Jesus Christ? And I'm not being disrespectful, but some people think that's what it means. No, the name Jesus was his name, but the word Christ is his title. You recognize that? Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. The word Messiah means anointed one. So think about this. When we talk and we use the name Jesus Christ, this phrase, the Christ, is his title. You know, and so you and your job, you may have a title, whether it's doctor or whatever your title may be in your job. Jesus' title is the Christ. He is the anointed. He is the Messiah. And this brings us to understand that this idea of Jesus being anointed is so important, it becomes his title. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. Are you with me? It's his title. Now listen, if he needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how much more do I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life? So every time we say the word Christ, Jesus Christ, we're saying Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the anointed one anointed by the Holy Spirit. That ought to just help us understand when we talk today about the oil of the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus. It's a pretty big deal. Now, did you catch it in verse 16? I don't know if you caught it. I heard Christina read it, but you may have missed it. So write this down. Don't miss this. Jesus went to church. In verse 16 says, it was his custom to go to church. Well, they didn't call it church. They called it the synagogue. It says Jesus, it was his custom. It was his habit. Jesus was in the habit of going to church. Now listen, you say, Pastor, I'm here today, and so good, you're in church. Go ahead and pat yourself on the back. You did something right today by coming to church. It may have been a battle, it may have been a struggle, you may have thought about not being here, you may have thought, well, I can just watch it on Facebook, or I can do this or do this, but there's something valuable about getting up and coming and being with God's people. Amen. If you do nothing else right all week, know that you did something right this morning. And I know you'll do something else right this week. I'm just joking. But no, and Jesus sets that. And you think, well, why did Jesus need to go to church? He was the Messiah. He didn't need to go to church, but he recognized the fact that there's value in gathering with God's people. And I say that because sometimes we don't understand the importance of being gathered together in the same room with people that are lifting up the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not here to make you feel guilty. You say, Pastor, I've got summer plans, I've got vacation, I'll be gone, I'm going here. Listen, that's great. Everyone ought to take a vacation. We ought to, you know, get a break from life. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we ought to make it our habit to be in church because there's value in being with God's people. Amen. Amen. And so again, way to go, you did it, but Jesus shows us that here in verse 16. But on this day, on the day that Jesus was there in the synagogue, he was the reader. He was the one that had the opportunity to read the text. And he grabbed the scroll, or had the scroll handed to him, that he knew was Isaiah 61. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just a random scripture that Jesus kind of opened up the scroll and kind of went like this, well, what'll I read today? Boom. No, he said, bring me the scroll that contains Isaiah 61. Now stay with me here. This is powerful. He read this passage of the great work of God's servant was going to do. You see, people knew, we need to remember that in his day, the Old Testament was their Bible. They knew it well, probably better than we do. They loved it. They knew it. They read it. And Isaiah was probably many people's favorite book. I love the book of Isaiah. In fact, Jackie and I are going through the Bible reading in a yearly program, and just by coincidence, this was our passage this morning, right? Yeah, we read Isaiah 61 this morning, but we're going through the Bible, and Isaiah is just a wonderful book, and people in Jesus' day knew this, and so he said, bring me the scroll, Isaiah 61, and they read this passage about what God's servant was going to do, and for them, it was always in the future. It was always, well, one day God's going to do this. One day God's going to bring his servant and he's going to do these things. One day we're looking forward to the Messiah. Don't give up. Don't, you know, because Isaiah was written 700 years before, so they've been waiting a long time. And they would read the scroll and they would kind of say, come on, guys, don't give up. One day, one day, one day. Jesus read the scroll. Did you catch this? Jesus read the passage and he said, verse 21, what do you say? Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, I don't think you're getting this. I don't think you're getting how big of a deal this was. Jesus was saying that today, this prophecy that you've been reading about and praying about and getting excited about for 700 years, he said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. We would say in our language, you could hear a pin drop. I mean, it'd be one of those things like, did he just say what I thought he said? Did he just say that today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing? Think about how tough that would have been for them. This is Jesus. This was his home church. This is where he grew up. There was probably people that said, you know what, Jesus, when you were a baby, I wiped your nose. I changed your diaper. You know, when you were in the nursery, I took care of you, you know, and I corrected you, and, you know, you played with our kids, and now you're saying that today this is fulfilled in our hearing. Think about how difficult that would have been for them to understand that and to believe that. He said, today, not one day. He said, in your hearing, not somewhere else. It'll be fulfilled by me. This is his home church. Wow, this is a powerful thing. Verse number 12 says, all spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked? Imagine that. Again, little Jesus. He used to play with our boys. Now he thinks he's a prophet. How cute, how strange, how incredible. I wonder if he's been out in the sun too long to be saying things like this. And there's an exchange that we don't have time to read this morning, but if you look at verse number 28, because Jesus goes back and forth, verse 28, as the people began to understand what Jesus was really saying, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. It finally clicked in. This guy thinks he's a prophet. This guy thinks he's a Messiah. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. They were furious. They got up. They drove him out of town, and they took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Talk about a good sermon going sideways. I know I'm in trouble when the board comes up and grabs me and wants to throw me off a cliff, okay? That's when it's time for me to find a new church to serve in, okay? That is a bad day if you're a preacher. All right, are you with me so far? They wanted to throw Jesus off the cliff. Look at verse 30. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Oh, I'd have loved to have seen it. Now, I don't know if that was a supernatural thing. I don't know if he just, you know, what happened there. I don't know what was going on. If they all of a sudden just, you know, got blinded or confused. And Jesus said, okay, guys, this is not my time to die. You might want to throw me off the cliff right now because of what I'm saying. But you know what? Now's not the time. And he walked right away from them. But you see, they reacted so strongly because they knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. They said, we can't believe that. What was his message? Listen to what his message was. He says, I am here, quoting Isaiah, to proclaim good news to the poor. Listen, the gospel is good news to the poor. Amen. Are we all rich and we don't believe that? If you're poor, the gospel is good news. He said that he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed. The idea of release is all about forgiveness. Jesus said, I have come to preach forgiveness. I've come to preach that no matter what you've done, it can be forgiven. That's good news. No matter what you've done, it can be forgiven. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's saying, guys, right now, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. One day it may be too late, but today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of God's salvation. And I say the same thing to you today. Listen carefully. Today is the day of God's favor. I can't speak about tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. It may be too late for me. It may be too late for you. My life may end. Your life may end. This world may end. Who knows what may happen? But today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here saying, well, Pastor, let me get a little bit older. Let me kind of go out and live my life. And when I get old like you, then I'll come back to Jesus. You don't have that guarantee. And as your pastor, as your friend, I plead with you to know that today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day to accept the Lord. Today is the day to get your life right with Jesus. None of us know about tomorrow. And Jesus proclaimed the year of God's favor. So let's move it on. The story doesn't end there. Point number three, if you're following along, write this down. Understand, the oil of the Spirit in the Old Testament, the oil of the Spirit in Jesus' life, and the oil of the Holy Spirit in my life, in your life. This isn't just ancient history. This isn't just a story that happened 2,000 years ago in Jesus' life. We're talking about today and the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You and I are not prophets or priests or kings, but we are given the anointing of the Holy Spirit as believers. You. Not just me as your pastor, you. If you know the Lord, I want you to know God, the Holy Spirit, is anointing you, wants to anoint you with His Holy Spirit, wants to bless you with His Holy Spirit, empower you with His Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if anybody's getting this yet this morning. But I hope that you just kind of hang in there with you because this is good news. Again, the prayer that Moses prayed 3,500 years ago, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. It's fulfilled here today. So look at what John says. And look up at the screen here, 1 John chapter 2. John, of course, is one of the disciples of Jesus. Probably his closest friend, his best friend. And after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, he writes a letter to the church. He says this, "Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going show that none of them belong to us." Listen to this. "But..." So John says, some people have left us. Some people have the spirit of the Antichrist. They were with us, but now they're against us. Now they're away from us. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." Again, John says, if you know the Lord and you're walking with Him, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Let's talk about that word anointing. What does that mean to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, to be anointed by the Lord? If you're like me and you grew up in church, especially a Pentecostal church, we use the word anointing to talk about, you know, church services sometimes. And we say, boy, that worship was anointed. Or boy, that word was anointed. Or boy, that prayer time was anointed. Amen? And that's all true. Don't hear anything I say to oppose that. There, you know, I believe God anoints the worship. I believe God anoints the word. I believe God anoints the altar time. But here's the problem. Sometimes we just limit God's anointing to the time we spend in this building. And we say, well, you know, boy, the worship was anointed. And maybe it's a day when the worship team just kind of sings more songs than they had planned. And maybe it's a day that we worship God so much that we don't even open the Bible to preach because we're just going to spend an hour and a half in worship. Listen, I'm not opposed to that. And I think when it happens in that way, God's got a plan to do that occasionally, and that's wonderful. But that's not the only time the worship is anointed. I want you know the worship was anointed this morning. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't really feel anything this morning. Well, that's okay. Maybe you're out of step, or maybe just, you know, that's okay. And the danger that we have sometimes is only the times when it seems extra special, and maybe the sermon was, you know, extra wonderful, or maybe it was you know, extra short or extra long or extra, you know, extra loud or extra whatever. Boy, that was anointed. I remember one church we served as youth pastors a long time ago, they still talked about the day that the pastor got so excited in his sermon that he jumped over the pulpit. And he wasn't a tall man. I wasn't there to see it, but they talked about years later, oh boy, that was an anointed day when the pastor jumped over the pulpit. Well, I want to tell you, if I jump over this pulpit, it better be anointed because it's a long drop down there to the floor. And if God tells me to do it, I suppose I'll do it. But don't hold your breath. That would have to be the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure what that would do for anybody other than the fact that, well, pastor jumped over the pulpit. Let's buy pastor a shorter pulpit. Maybe that'll help. And again, I'm not making light of any of that. There are times when God shows up in a way and people, you know, get more excited than usual, or the altar time, and people maybe even are slaying the spirit, or they, you know, all those things. Listen, I'm not against that. But here's what I'm warning us about. It's saying that the Holy Spirit's anointing is only for the extra special, supernatural, once-in-a-lifetime things. If that's the case, we're not going to experience it very often. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit's anointing is not even only in this room. Right. The Holy Spirit's anointing isn't just about what happens in this building. Let me explain why that's so important. If you think about your typical week, if you come to church on Sunday morning and maybe Wednesday night or another activity, a connect group, whatever, let's say you're in church 3 hours a week, which is, you know, probably average or maybe less, maybe more. But even 3 hours a week, you know what? I did the math this week. That's 2% of your time. 2% of the week you're in church. Now listen, if the Holy Spirit's anointing is only about what happens in this room, something's wrong with that math, right? Because God wouldn't say, okay, I want to give you my anointing for 2% of your life and it's going to be great, you know, wonderful, you're going to come to church, you're going to be really touched and encouraged. Again, I'm not opposed to that, but what about the other 98% of my week? I believe God wants us to know his anointing 100% of the time. And sometimes as church folks or Pentecostal churches, we tend to emphasize the anointing that happens in this building. But I believe God's in his word and wanting to show us here today, and as your pastor, I want to plead with you to think this way with me, that God, you want to anoint me all the time. I need God's anointing when I'm on the job. I need God's anointing when I'm with my kids. I need God's anointing when I'm driving on 99. Amen. A double portion. Come on. Amen. Or Elk Grove Boulevard. Man, it's getting crazy out in Elk Grove. Come on, we need God's anointing, yeah, as we drive. So write this down. Don't limit the anointing to something that happens on Sunday mornings on the stage. I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. Don't ever say pastor doesn't want, you know, great things to happen in church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's not limit it to that. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is for all of my life, all of your life. God's not saying, well, I want to anoint that 2% that you're in church, make it wonderful, and the other 98%, man, you're on your own. Good luck. Come back next week. No. He wants to anoint our whole life. He wants to anoint your whole life. Again, so get the attention off of the stage and off of the pastor. Yes, the pastor needs to be anointed. Yes, the worship team needs to be anointed. Yes, the prayer team needs to be anointed. But you know what? You need to be anointed. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've come to pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. You've got to get this wesson oil all over yourself too, not just those that are up on the stage. So we pray this prayer, ready for more. If you're like me, you're wearing one of these bracelets. The Holy Spirit, I'm ready for more. If you're not wearing a bracelet, that's fine too. But think about that idea. It's on your notes. I'm ready for more. That's not just a Sunday morning prayer. It is a Sunday morning prayer, but it's not just a Sunday morning prayer. That's why I got these bracelets for you. So when you put it on Monday morning, say, Lord, I'm ready for more of you today. I'm not going to the church building today. I'm not going to be involved in a church service. It's a Monday, it's a Tuesday, it's a Friday. But you know what, Lord? I'm ready for more of you. Because I understand that the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit isn't tied to this building. Now, I'm thankful for this building. I'm so glad we have this building. But you know what? The Holy Spirit does not live in this building. He lives in you. He lives in me. He lives in all of us. And so it's a reminder. It's an encouragement to us to say, as we get up in the morning and say, Lord, I need your help today. I need your anointing this morning. And again, it's not just a prayer for the pastor. Lord, anoint the pastor. Yes, it is that prayer, but it's much, much, much more. And like I said, we're going to close the service in a moment. And when we do, I'm going to invite you to come up. And you say, Pastor, I want to be anointed with oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We're just going to pray for you. And you may say, you know, I may not even have a pressing need. I may not even have a big deal. But I just want to have that physical reminder to say, I want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to just do that this morning as we close in just a moment. So what does the anointing look like in my life? You say, Pastor, if I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, does that mean I'm going to talk funny or do weird stuff? Or listen, not at all. It means you're not going to live with only on your strength, not with only your wisdom, not using only your words, but the Holy Spirit will be helping you in a new and an exciting way. So here's the application. Oil. We're talking about oil. Think about this. What happens if you drive home today and your car has no oil in the engine? You're not going to make it all the way home, for one thing, probably. It'll freeze up. It'll burn up. And hopefully it won't happen because you're going to need a new engine or a new car. What happens if you go home and you're going to cook dinner, you're going to fry up some lumpia? Let me hear an amen on that. What happens if you do that without any oil? It's not going to happen. Oil, it's just not going to work. It's going to burn up. There's friction, there's heat, and there's fire, and there's damage. And the same thing is true. What am I trying to do on my own strength? What am I trying to do without the oil of the Holy Spirit? It's not going to work. So ask myself that question. What am I trying to do on my own strength? What am I trying to do on my own wisdom? What am I trying to do with my own resources? It's just not going to work. It's going to be a frying pan without any oil. It's going to be a car engine without any oil. It's going to be friction and heat and fire, and nothing good will come out of it. So let me say it one more time. Jesus wants to anoint you with the Spirit at all times, in all circumstances, in all situations. So let me ask you the question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but answer it in your heart. Where do you need more of the Holy Spirit outside of this room? Where as you think about your life, you think about your week, where do you need more of the Holy Spirit? Is it on the job? Do you need wisdom? Is it at home? Do you need grace? Is it with your coworkers, your neighbors, or your children? Or where is it that you would say, I need more of the Holy Spirit? There's a scripture in Zechariah. I'll put it up here on the screen for you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but what? By my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It's not about my might or about my power. It's about his Spirit working within me. One last scripture, then we're going to pray. And perhaps if you're new to our church, you'd wonder, because oftentimes, we didn't do it today during worship because we're going to do it now. But oftentimes we invite people to come to the front to be prayed for. See, what's up with that? I mean, where'd that come from? Is that just a South Point idea or a tradition that we've had here? No, not at all. Look at your notes there. James chapter 5 talks about this. It says, is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and what? Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sins, he will be forgiven. And so typically on a Sunday, we give you opportunity to come to the front to be prayed for, and we anoint you with oil. Why? Because James chapter 5 tells us to. Because it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we put that oil on your forehead, we're saying, Lord, let this person be touched by the power of your Holy Spirit. Yeah, there's nothing magical or special about this oil. There's nothing about that. It's about what it symbolizes and what it means. So in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to close in prayer. And again, like we said last Sunday, if you need to go, you can just go ahead and go. We're not going to have a formal dismissal after that. We're just going to have the worship team come, and we're going to sing another song, and I'm going to ask the prayer team to come to the front, and they're going to be available to pray. And we're just going to anoint those that would like to have be anointed with oil. You might say, Pastor, I've got a huge need in my life. Then come on up. You might say, Pastor, I don't have a big need, but I just want to be prayed for. I would just appreciate having someone pray and anoint me with oil. Then come on up. Would you close your eyes and bow your head for just a moment? And let's take a moment right now and just thank God. Forgiving him, forgiving us, the work of his Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. We thank you that the prophecy that of the Old Testament, that one day your Spirit would be given, poured out on all flesh, Joel chapter 2. And that in Numbers chapter 11, Moses said, I would that all people had God's Spirit. Lord, to think that that's true for us today, help us to appreciate so much the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, I pray for each person here this morning that our prayer would be, Lord, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's not just something for the pastor. It's not just something for those that are up on the platform. It's not just something about a Sunday morning and then I go out and live my life in my own strength. Holy Spirit, remind us that you want to anoint us and fill us all places, all times, all days. Lord, it's not just for some people. It's for all of us that know you. So, Father, we want to just be open to you. We want to just say more of your Spirit. We want to be able to have our hearts and minds surrendered to you. And even as we have your Holy Spirit anointing us, Lord, to give us power, to give us wisdom. Lord, those times this week where we need your power, we need your wisdom, we need your strength. We can't do it on our own. There's problems that are too big for us. There's situations that we can't handle. There are people that we can't deal with. But, Lord, we need your anointing and your strength. And so we humbly ask you for that, Lord. Thank you that you are not contained in this building. You're not contained in these four walls. Lord, you anoint us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to serve you with power and authority. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, shall we? All around the room, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up, the board of directors.